Thank you. Welcome back to our study of Ephesians. We're in chapter 5, and we left off at verse 22, so let's read that one more time. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So we were talking about submission.
Okay. We're going to spend a little time right here. I have to count down because people get... They misunderstand, and when they misunderstand, they go out and say, you taught something you didn't teach. I had a lady to get extremely upset with me because her husband went home and told her I said that she had to obey me and everything right forward. I didn't say no such thing. Number one, we'll establish this. Submission and obedience are not synonymous, okay? You can submit without obeying, and you can obey without submitting. I did a lot of obeying growing up without submitting. You understand? For fear of life. I didn't want to get beat to death. You understand? But on the inside of me, I was not submitted. You understand? I was just doing what I needed to do to survive. But on the other hand, you think about submission being an attitude. Never, never should a wife or children go contrary to the Word of God. You know, you said, well, the Bible says, wife, submit yourself to your husband in all things. Not in sin. You have to understand levels of authority. And God, we established God is the highest authority. God the Father. The Father's the highest authority, okay? And then Jesus is directly under him. Then that man, husband, is under Jesus. And then the wife is under the husband. And then the children are under both the parents, okay? Now, when you do what the Bible says, you're submitting to God. Now, wives, submit yourself to the husband, the position of the husband. Now, if the husband steps over here out of line and is disobeying God, it does not say to submit to disobedience, sin, these type things. You keep your attitude right, okay? And so you say, I love you. I'm under your authority. I recognize that, but you're asking me to disobey God, and I will not do that. And so don't put yourself in a position to get me to choose between you and God. That's a no-brainer. God always wins. You understand? Now think about Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you have heard about him and how his wife was got saved long before he did, and very staunch Christian and just wanted to be in every meeting, and he thought she was going to church too much. And he told her she went to church that night, he's going to lock her out of the house. And she did, and he did. But ultimately, she won him to the Lord by a good attitude. She stayed submitted, but she didn't obey. And then he came on later on to be what many people know today as the apostle of faith, a tremendous man of God, mighty miracles. But she didn't win him through rebellion. She didn't win him through obedience. She won him through submission. She kept her attitude right. And so when God says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, he's saying, all right, here's the order. If you're not submitted to your husband, you're not submitted to me. You can't be submitted to God if you're not submitted to the authority over you. You with me? Now, I think about this in a Christian walk. James 4:7 tells us to submit ourselves to God. Then he says, you resist the devil. And if you don't follow that order, you're not going to resist the devil. You've got to be under submission to this authority, or you'll find yourself dominated by this one. Okay? And so we're talking about an attitude. We're talking about God-ordained position. I didn't choose my gender. You didn't choose your gender. A lot of idiots today are trying to manipulate, okay? And I emphasize the word idiots, okay? But I can tell you right now, in the sight of God, God's not confused about your gender, regardless of what kind of operation you have. God knows how He made you, okay? And so we just understand that God made me as a man, so I'm to carry out the duties and responsibilities of a man. You women, God made you as a woman, you carry out the duties and responsibilities of a woman. We're not in competition to one another. Now take you all the way back to the Garden of Eden. For those of you who don't know, God created the man first. You understand? And He actually named all the animals before the woman was ever created. But then God saw that man needed a suitable help, an assistant, one to aid and assist him. So He caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And He took the rib out of the man, and then He built, custom-made, the woman. And brought her back to the man. The man was complete before the rib was removed. But once the rib was removed, the man's incomplete. The woman was brought back for the completion. So the husband and wife complete the union. You follow all that? God never intended or created them to compete. And that's our problem. Men, women are competing with one another. No, we complete one another. You cannot fulfill the mandate of God by yourself. There's nobody on island, nobody the Lone Ranger, okay? The mandate that God gave to Adam and the woman was to be fruitful and multiply. No man can do that. No woman can do that. No two men can do that, or no two women can do that. The only way for that mandate to be fulfilled is for that man and that woman to come together and be fruitful. You with me? That was God's intent from the beginning. And I'll give you another bit of information. God did not name the woman. God called their name Adam. Adam named the woman, Eve. Okay? You don't see that name until after the fall. Which is interesting. Okay? And so God set all this up at the beginning. He set a divine order. Order is a protection. Authority is a protection. Now, you can abuse authority. I know that. It happens all the time. For instance, the police officers around here, they are here to protect you. But you get some bad Joes out there. And they let the badge go to their head. And they mishandle the authority. It's abusive authority. I understand that there's husbands that abuse their authority. Thank God Jesus doesn't abuse His authority. Okay? And so what He's giving us here in this fifth chapter of Ephesians is actually an analogy. And He's using the husband-wife relationship to teach the relationship of Jesus and His body, the church. Okay? And so He starts out by saying, all right, this is what I ordained in the beginning. This started with the man, the woman. She was created for him. He was not created for her. The church is created for Jesus. Jesus was not created for the church. You with me? And so the church is to submit to Jesus, the wife submit to the husband. In other words, you're conveying a message. The husband-wife relationship is conveying a message, one way or the other. It's either giving a true message of Jesus in the church, or it's giving a false message. And sadly, today it's giving a false message. Okay? And so, I don't want women to put up a guard when we talk about submission. It's not plucking two hairs on your chest and say, woman, do this. That's not what it's about. You understand? Give her something to submit to. But, now I must put this in. Whether you do or whether you don't, that does not relieve her of the responsibility of obeying God by submitting to her husband. But here again, submission and obedience are the same thing. Okay? Stay submitted to God. Stay submitted to the Word of God. As long as the husband is submitted to the Word of God, you shouldn't have a problem. Obey it. But if he steps out of line, stay submitted but don't obey. I love you, but I love God more. You follow me? Okay. Want to add to that?
I was just thinking about when you truly trust, submission is easy. When you trust that that person has your, we're just thinking about husband-wife relationship, has your best interest at heart, that they truly are, as a husband, your husband is taking the role of one that protects and provides and cares for. When that's established, then the submission, it's simple.
Why wouldn't you want to
have somebody that's going to protect you and provide and care for and look out for your best interest? But here again, I'd like for us to look at this through spiritual eyes. Because sometimes I think what's happened is we look at submission through natural eyes. Mm-hmm. And so, like the whole feminist movement and be your own woman, you don't need a man telling you what to do. And, well, you know what? Sometimes, yeah, I really do. And I am really grateful for their guidance. And so, yeah, I don't believe in any of that. As a woman, as a wife, I do not believe in the feminist movement. I don't believe it's what the Lord has ordained. But when you think about your relationship with the Lord, for me to submit to Him means I completely and wholeheartedly trust in Him. And because I'm learning to trust, that submission is coming easier and easier and easier. But it's a matter of the heart. We laughed at the beginning of the session when Pete was talking about his childhood. Well, I think about my own son. He would obey because I would physically make him obey. There was no gray area. But I knew in his heart he hadn't submitted. That's why we continued to remind him of the order. We were trying to every day. They weren't called spankings or beatings. They were called reminders at my house. I'm going to remind you what you need to do and how you need to do it. That heart, that submission, that didn't come for years. I wasn't sure he was going to make it to six. But
you really can't beat one into submission.
No.
You can beat them into obedience, but not into submission.
Okay? That's right. That's exactly right. Not that I didn't try. But nevertheless, it's a heart issue. It's a matter of the heart. Submission is a matter of the heart.
Absolutely.
And you think about the church is the bride, right? when we read in Revelation, what's the bride of Christ? Talk to me.
Well, I want to talk to you about trust and show you where we are today. How many born-again believers are truly submitted to God? You know, I'm not looking for an answer. That's rhetorical, okay? But here's the thing. Why? Because they don't trust Him. People don't trust God. They don't understand the ways of God.
Right.
And so they don't trust God. And God is under no obligation to explain all His ways to us. God is just simply saying, I'm smarter than you. Trust me. I see the end of this thing. You only see the beginning of it. So trust me. Okay? But you find that people have a hard time trusting God. And I hear this, well, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Well, so you need to wake up. Life's not fair. Life's not fair. God is fair. God is just. And so who am I to say that God's decision is unfair? It's unfair by my thinking, not in reality. You with me? You know what that means? I'm not submitted to God. I think I have a better idea than God. God says, do this. No, I don't want to do that. See, that's what happened to King Saul. King Saul thought he had a better idea than God. God said, I want you to utterly destroy everything, leave nothing breathing. And boy, that just rattles the cage of the liberals today when you say that. You know, well, what kind of God is that? A God who knows more than you do. A God is wanting to eradicate evil. Okay? But Saul says, no, we'll keep the best. You know, the people recommended it. You know, people will recommend. You know, the congregation will recommend to the leader of the church. They'll recommend a lot of stuff to him. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're a leader of a congregation, you listen to God. If everybody walks out the door, let them go. But you obey God because you're going to give an account to God, not to the people. And we've got to get that established because ministers today are not leaders. They're followers. They're not listening to God. They're listening to the people. Okay? How did it work out for Saul? Cost him the kingdom, cost him his life. Cost him his son's life. Because he didn't obey God. He wouldn't submit to the Word of God. I'll take you back to James 4. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And so we're going to have to learn to trust God. Listen, I'm not the one that set up the divine order of the husband as head of the wife. God did that. So my role is to stay submitted to what God has ordained. And that's your role. It's everybody's role. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Now let me hit on this male side. You're the authority. You're the responsible one. You're supposed to represent God to the household. Then represent God and quit acting like the devil. And if you'll represent God and stay submitted to God, it's like Heather was saying. You know, a woman's not going to have a problem. If she's a godly woman, she's not going to have a problem submitting to a godly man. A man that's following God, a man that's passionate for the Lord, he's going to look out for your best interest. I didn't say he's going to stroke your flesh. I said he's going to look out for your best interest. He will give you the Word of God. He will live the Word of God in front of you as an example. He's not bossing you. God didn't create dictators or bosses or lords. There's one Lord with a capital L. When Sarah called Abraham Lord, she's simply recognizing your supreme in authority. That's what the word Lord means, supreme in authority. Okay? And so when a woman is submitted to her husband, she's recognizing a supreme authority. You step out of line, it's not my position to get you in line. That's God's role. You're under the authority of God. You're not under my authority. You follow me? And we have to learn the divine order of God, or we'll never understand this. And we'll always be getting upset, especially the women. Always getting upset. Well, who am I to submit? Well, what did we read before we started this? Submit to one another. You understand? Submit to one another. That doesn't mean the wife doesn't have suggestions. It doesn't mean that she has no input. She's to be a help. A helper can make suggestions to you, but not boss you, not nag you, not lord over you. We have to do it God's way. You understand? Read the Proverbs and you'll find what a woman shouldn't do. How many times has Solomon written in the Proverbs that a contentious woman or a nagging wife is like a dripping faucet, a leaking roof, or I mean, several things he uses there. And believe me, he had experience because he had enough of them. But here's the problem. He didn't live God in front of them. He followed their gods. Okay? And so I won't let any man off of the hook. We have a greater accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it, if you look at the law, you go in and study the Old Testament, as long as a woman was a virgin living in her father's house, if she made a vow, her father could disannul that vow. And that woman would be left off of the hook, not guilty. If she got married and she made a vow, her husband could disannul that vow. Make it void. Take her off of the hook. You with me? Now, he would be a fool to disallow something that's in agreement with God. And so the only reason that he would do that is basically, don't stone me, ladies. Basically, women are more emotional, more in tune to their emotions than men, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, consequently, they might make an emotional decision where he will make a more rational decision because he will look at that thing in a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why that he has that authority. That's why God puts the order the way he did. And he tells you in Peter, for the husband to give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So we've got to get it all in context to really understand what God is meaning by submission and looking at the contrast between submission and obedience. Now, I don't walk in the door and tell my wife, all right, you're going to do what I tell you to do. Well, then I'm not submitted to Jesus. If I go in with that attitude, I'm not submitted to Jesus. You follow me? And the man has the responsibility of setting the pace. You're to depict Jesus in your house. But here again, can they trust you?
Mm-hmm.
Can they trust you? And here you've got people trying to, get people to submit, and they won't even submit to God. You don't trust God. And you know what? Trust is earned. Trust is earned. But if God tells me to do something and I just rebel and I refuse to do it, I'll never know if I could have trusted him or not.
Mm-hmm.
I never gave him a chance. You with me? We have to give people a chance to earn trust. I've had situations to where I've just said, trust me, and then you just watch me. I'll learn it. You with me? How do you earn it? By keeping your word. And I'm going to tell you today, people don't keep the word. Oh, I was just picking. I was just doing this. I was just doing that. I'm going to tell you, buddy, my daddy instilled in us, your word's your bond. You give your word, you keep your word. If it costs you, you keep your word. Into your own hurt, you keep your word to somebody. Don't tell them something you're not going to back up. And parents need to learn to do that with the kids. I was in a particular setting, a small kid, and the daddy kept threatening. You do that one more time, I'm going to do this. You do that one more time, I'm going to do this. On the inside of me, I've said, let me do it. He won't be doing it one more time. You're lying to him. You understand? When God tells us stuff, he's not lying. He means what he says. He says what he means, and he expects us to be that way as well. To be honorable with our words. I'm going to tell you, I have to be honorable with my children. I mean, they're adults now. We're children of their own. But I still have to be honorable with my word. If I tell one of them I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I say I'm going to be there at a certain time, I'm going to be there. There'd be some real unforeseen circumstances to prevent that. Why? They need to know that they can trust me. I'm supposed to be representing God to them. If you can't trust the man of God, how can you trust God? And that's the problem. A lot of people are going by the phrase man of God, but they can't be trusted. You follow me? Trust is earned. If I want you to trust me, I have to give you something to trust. And I have to be patient with you while you're learning me. You with me? God is patient with us.
Yeah.
While we're learning to trust the Lord. And I can tell you that he has never done me wrong. Never. He's never violated his word to me. People have, but God haven't. You understand? Preachers have, but God hasn't. He's trustworthy. You know what that means? He's worthy of trust. Do you know that that's what Paul was actually saying when he said, if you look at it, when he's writing to Timothy, he says, thank God that he counted me trustworthy to place me into the ministry. So he watched him. He's watched him. God says, I can trust him. I can trust him. Yeah, he was a rascal, but he did what he did out of ignorance. But boy, was he a zealot. Man, God can use some zealots. He just needs to get our thinking right so our actions will be right. You follow me? And boy, did Paul prove that he was worthy of trust. What if ministers would see the gospel as a treasure that they're carrying? God has entrusted you with a valuable treasure. You with me? The same with husbands. What are we doing? Are we representing God? The same way with wives. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're conveying a message every day of our life to people and to God. God's the record keeper. And we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We all give an account. You understand? Not just for what I did, but why I did it. You understand? You can do the works and then be burned up. Read 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. But what will stand the fire test when your motive's right? You with me? And I hate this manipulation stuff. Well, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. Well, that's conditional love. That's not God. God says, I love you and die for you, and you don't deserve anything. And you can't give me anything right now. But I'll die for you anyway. And you can reject me if you want to. But I have no regrets in dying for you. It puts a whole new meaning to it. When you start looking at this thing, as Heather was saying, from spiritual eyes, you stop looking at it just from the flesh. Well, I'm not going to submit to him. Well, then you're not going to submit to God. Oh, you may raise your hand. You may sing your songs. You may jump, shout, run around the church. It's just a facade. God's looking at your heart. Know what you're doing outside. God wants our hearts submitted to him. And so it's interesting that he doesn't start this out with husbands, but he starts it out with wives. Submit yourself to your own husband. Now I could go somewhere else here. Jesus is the husband, if you will, of the church. Religion is not. You can submit to religion. You can submit to another husband. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Submit to your own. Religion's not mine. I was married to it for a while. Thank God I got my eyes up. The truth, the reality of the person who actually loves me. Not trying to take advantage of me. Religion will use you. God will let you be used for his glory, but he won't abuse you in the process, you understand? You getting the idea of the trust aspect here? And so submission is based upon trust. You don't trust him. Well, you won't submit to him. I'm not going to submit to somebody I don't trust. Yeah. I've done a lot of dumb things in my life, you know, and submitted to some things, but for the grace of God, I'd have been dead. Start hanging out with the wrong crowd, you get in the wrong place, you submitted all right. Not to God. Thank God for mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You through with that part?
Well, I just want to touch on one other thing about the Lord. He tells us who he is. I believe it may have been the last class or sometime recently. I told you about the first time the scripture came alive to me, and it was the Lord revealing his character to me. That he's merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And he doesn't change. And the more I get to know him, the deeper I go into the relationship, so to speak, however, the more intimate I am with him, the more I realize that that's exactly who he is. It's easy to submit to that kind of love. But have you ever known somebody that told you it was raining outside and you looked out the window just to check to make sure? Have you ever had that kind of relationship with somebody? That's a different story altogether, isn't it? But the Lord is faithful.
Because we haven't got to that man yet.
Oh.
Are you all going to get off of it? Okay.
For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body.
Now look at that. Head there being authority.
Yeah.
You with me? Husband is the head. He's the authority over the wife, just like Jesus is the authority over the church. But now this is the line right here. And save your of the body. You understand? Your authority is there to save you, to preserve you, to deliver you, not to take advantage of you. And so if the husband is fulfilling that position of authority, then he's going to be looking out after the best interest. Just like Jesus is looking out after the best interest of the church. The problem is, the church doesn't want to submit. You know what happens when you don't submit? Then the best interest is jeopardized. Whether it's the church or whether it's the wife. Okay? Time's up, but I'm going to make this statement here. If you want to be loved, love. Make yourself lovable. You understand? You want people to trust you? Then give them something to trust. Be a person of your word. Be a person of integrity. Amen? Okay, we'll stop there and pick back up in the next session with this.